Good Friday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. I'm Brad Sussmat. It is Friday the 13th. I'm not superstitious about anything. I'm expecting a very good show today. I'm feeling it. Pumped up, psyched up, geeked up. Jeff Ayers is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. You may know him as Jeff Pendergraf, the former Arizona State Sun Devil center, who is one win away from winning a championship in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs. Jeff Ayers, the former Jeff Pendergraf, in about 20 minutes. Bill Goody-Kuntz, Goody at the Movies. It is Friday. You know what's going on in the world of sports, or at least you will in about 40 minutes. By then, it's time to get you ready to have a life over the weekend, because while sports is our number one priority here, we're Arizona-centric. At the same time, we want you to have a great time as well. So Goody at the Movies. I don't know if there's anything good that's coming out. I want to talk to Bill. Today is 20 years, the 20-year anniversary of OJ and the White Bronco. So if social media were alive, and Bill and I always talk social media, I want to talk to Goody about that. And I think it's How to Train Your Dragon 2 that's coming out. I am one of those dads that's in that range where my 9-year-old's probably going to want to go. And what I need to find out is, do I say, hey, honey, I have to work. You should take our son to go see How to Train Your Dragon 2 so I get out of it. Guys, you've been there, right? Where you're at the movies and you're like, I don't want to be here at all. This is dreadful. So I have to find out if that is the case. Today's also the weekend of Father's Day. So I have a Father's Day. I was shared. Have you heard my Father's Day story too many times through the years?
I have not. I would text you a happy Father's Day on Sunday, but you'll be unreachable. So
I'm going to be somewhere north of the studios in Scottsdale, but south of Salt Lake City on a jet ski in a back canyon where no one will find me.
Let's see.
No one will find me.
North of Scottsdale, just south of Utah.
Yeah.
Jet ski.
Yeah.
Houseboat.
Somewhere. Could be a houseboat.
Could be.
Could be. Pretty darn well going to be. It's the best family vacation ever, so I'll be doing that. So I have a Father's Day story or two. Here's the thing. Guys, you know that for the most part, that sports linked you and brought you closer to your dad. Okay, whether you're going to admit it or not, most guys don't want to admit that they or show emotion with their dad. Most guys don't, or they weren't close with their dad or their grandfather. But sports was that bond that brought you closer. I'm sure as I'm talking to you about this, you can recall a game that you went to with your dad or your grandfather, or if you didn't have a father growing up. I did not have a father growing up. I was one of those kids where dad walked away, a 70s dad, and it was mom. So mom was dad and mom. So on Father's Day every year, I call her and say, hey, thanks for being a good dad. So, you know, it's just the way it is. I did have some father figures along the way that I'll send notes to. So, but sports was that link for me. And I'll talk about that as the show moves along today, too. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino. A week from now, I'll be at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. We'll be doing the show up there as part of the ASU White Mountain event. The big steak fry. We're going to head up to Danny White's place outside of Vernon and do some fishing with Coach Graham. And we'll stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Going to have a great time hitting the great outdoors for 4 long days. And I mean long in a good way. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Well, as mentioned, a lot going on in the world of sports. I think the big takeaway on this early Friday is Martin Keimer at the U.S. Open. Martin Keimer has an 8-stroke lead over Dustin Johnson. Now, if it were Tiger Woods.
Who is it?
Yeah. Martin
Keimer. Keimer sounds like a college professor, not a professional golfer.
Mr. Keimer. If it were Tiger Woods that were up by 8 strokes, then the world would be abuzz. But this feels like the John Deere Classic rather than the U.S. Open. Unfortunately, that's just the way we're wired in society. I'm not going to find myself diving in to watch the U.S. Open if Martin Keimer is up 8 strokes on Sunday afternoon. I'm sure that there's executives everywhere that are saying, hey, honey, forget about the Christmas bonus. Maybe we should sell our second and third homes. Why is that? Well, because we have a guy named Martin Keimer leading the U.S. Open, and we're going to get destroyed when the ratings come out.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? You don't watch an event anymore for the event. You watch it for either who's in the event or who's leading the event.
Well, it's like the NBA Finals. So last night I watched a little bit of the NBA Finals.
That's all you really needed to watch, to be honest with you.
Well, it was over. There was a moment last night on the Finals where Danny Green hits a couple of threes and Greg Popovich signals to Manu Ginobili, who was set to check in for Danny Green, Manu, come on back to the bench and have a seat. And Manu didn't roll his eyes, throw his arms up in the air, do any of that nonsense. He does enough of that on the court, by the way. But he went and sat back down, cheered on his teammate, and San Antonio absolutely wiped the floor from the Miami Heat. I mean, just destroyed the Miami Heat last night.
Back to the basket, Duncan gets it out to the left wing. Leonard will fire a three from there. Kawhi not from Tim Duncan. Kawhi Leonard with a three ball from the left wing. And the San Antonio Spurs have their biggest lead tonight. It is 73-49.
Kawhi not.
I just cut and edit these highlights.
Kawhi not?
I don't know anything else. I can't.
Kawhi not?
I can't answer that question.
You know that he was either driving along in his car on the interstate and practicing Kawhi not, or sitting in front of his mirror in his hotel saying, Kawhi not?
Maybe he got a random tweet.
Kawhi
not? The voice
not.
Of the Spurs, Bill Shonen.
Well, it's like, it was like the Shazam by Shabazz rant I was on last year with Shabazz Muhammad. Now I've seen where there's some people saying they hope the Suns take Shabazz Napier so that Al McCoy can say Shazam by Shabazz. Yeah, we had that one. Kawhi not? Yeah, Kawhi not. How about that? Kawhi Leonard was really good. Oh, my gosh. Kawhi Leonard has grown right before our eyes. I don't know if he's going to be a superstar in this league. I don't know that. Because there'll be a day and time where he doesn't have Tim Duncan behind him or Tony Parker in front of him or Manu Ginobili out there either. But all I know is this. Kawhi Leonard last night was about as good a performance. 20 points, 14 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. I'll take that every night as my line out on the floor. And then you have Boris Diaw. How do you like this, Suns fans? What do you know? Boris Diaw playing point guard last night. Kind of like what we saw here in Phoenix for all those years.
That was the game plan, was to play the same way that we did last game, and that's what we did. The game is pretty similar. Starting the game, it was kind of tight, and then we took the lead, and then they tried to make a run in the third quarter, but we hang in there to keep that lead.
So there's that. Brazil yesterday gets the home cooking. Did you watch any of the Brazil-Croatia match yesterday?
I did not. No, I saw the highlights. I watched a little bit of the game, but not the really juicy, important, controversial stuff.
Yeah.
Which, of course, happens when it's the World Cup, you know.
So I'm watching that yesterday. I was over at Santan Ford getting an oil change, just minding my own business. And I noticed how many employees were gathering around to watch the World Cup. And when the goals waved off, they all said the same thing. Well, it's Brazil. They've got to get the home cooking. You have this referee from that wants to make sure that his life doesn't end.
Correct.
Because Brazil ends up losing. It's going to be over.
We shouldn't laugh and tease about it, but
that's true.
That's the reality of the World Cup.
So here's what happened later in the match yesterday.
Neymar doesn't go forward yet. That's odd. Now he's going to the side. Neymar walks up, stutter step, takes the shot off the keeper's hands and in. Brazil leads on a Neymar goal.
Now, so Neymar, this whole thing about stutter stepping, just run up and kick the ball. Just run up and make that happen.
Home cooking. And because, Brad, you know, I've been waiting all morning to tell you this, because as I've said on this show, I speak in truce.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the most part.
I saw a tweet this morning, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
In New York City, the World Cup, Brazil versus Croatia, got an 18 share.
But that's okay.
The NBA Finals, Spurs Heat, got an 18 share.
It's portions of the country.
I knew you'd love that. I know, because you're a big soccer guy.
It's good. It's good. But that certain parts, it's not me saying, see, told you so.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you had the ratings in Phoenix, I'm sure they were dreadful.
Maybe not dreadful, because everybody on social media, my timeline was filled with Brazil, Croatia, home cooking, World Cup, got to get them through the next round, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, Mexico and Cameroon are going on. You've got Spain and the Netherlands and Chile against Australia. I'm going to watch.
When does the U.S. play? Like a week from tomorrow
Monday.
Or something? Okay.
Play Monday.
Man, that's a long wait.
They play Monday. So there's that's going on. We're going to talk to Jeff Pendergraf here in a minute. Jeff Ayers, the former Sun Devil. Let me get a couple other things in here. Let me give me a little bit of extra time here. So today, Eric and I knew John Junker very well. Eric and I have done a lot with the Fiesta Bowl through the years. We're both big college guys. John Junker asked me one time, hey, why don't you come with me, tell a story. I'll take you to Michigan and Ohio State. So we go to Michigan, Ohio State. I think it was like 2001, 2002, somewhere in that time frame. Yeah, they took me out to a dinner. Yeah, they flew us back there. It wasn't anything major. There was nothing fishy that was going on. John and I walked around to various events. You weren't with me on that trip, or were you?
I was.
You were. Okay.
Thanks.
So
I'm glad I made a
lasting
impression.
Yeah, you made a real impact.
So. You don't remember the Ohio State student holding the case of natural light with no shirt on, walking across campus when it was like 11 degrees outside at 10 in the morning on a Saturday?
What I remember was the 90-year-old lady carrying the 12-pack of Schlitz. That's what I remember. It was beautiful. John Junker today reported to a federal prison in Tucson today. And he's now 59 years of age. The judge allowed him to not go to prison until he was able to see his high school and college graduations of his kids. And he's going to serve an 8-month sentence. I saw John about 2 years ago. I was down at St. Vincent de Paul. And I embraced him and gave him a big hug. He was in a back room. He looked embarrassed. He looked worn down. He made a big mistake. There are people to this day that will not forgive him. There are people to this day that like to remind me of, well, you were associated with the Fiesta Bowl. Yeah, I was. And he made a huge mistake. I didn't see any benefit of it to myself.
And guess what? It happens at all bowls. It happens at all the big bowls. Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl. It all goes on. John just got caught. That's the reality of it.
So when John gets out in 8 months, I'm going to reach out to John. It's not to come on this show. And I can only go off how people treat me and how I treat them. I think in society, sometimes we just don't want to forgive. And I think having a second opportunity, the man is going to prison. And I hope that things work out well for him on the backside of it. But today he's walking in to 8 months that he's not going to see what's going on the outside world. That's on my mind today. Donald Sterling hiring 4 private investigators to dig up dirt on the previous NBA commissioners and the other 29 owners. And he's given them a budget of 6 figures for the next 30 days. Just sounds like a guy who's lost his mind. Just sounds really, really creepy. I don't know if the NBA should be nervous about this, but any one of their own that says, I'm going to go get 4 private investigators to go dig up dirt on all these other owners, that's a little creepy. The Diamondbacks losing at Houston yesterday. Wade Miley has allowed 16 home runs in 15 starts. Somebody please explain to me how it is that Brandon McCarthy gets jacked around the yard. Wade Miley gets jacked around the yard. Closer Addison Reed gets jacked around the yard. The numbers don't lie. The Diamondbacks give up a ton of home runs. And don't give me, it's all at Chase Field. So that's a bad couple of days for the Diamondbacks. They're in Los Angeles against the Dodgers tonight. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. As mentioned, watching San Antonio absolutely dismantle Miami last night, 107-86, and the Spurs up now 3-1. Eric and I have been saying for a while, let's get Jeff Ayers on. For those of you that don't remember Jeff Pendergraf with Arizona State, one of the really good guys and good NBA player. From Indiana to San Antonio, Jeff Ayers joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you?
I'm a little tired, but good.
Yeah, but you're tired up 3-1. If it were the other way around, you'd say, Brad, I'm not coming on your show today, probably, right?
Yeah, I'd probably turn my phone off.
Yeah. So are you surprised you're up 3-1, Jeff?
A little bit. You know, when we went down there, that was kind of our game plan. You know, instead of going down there with the mentality to, you know, steal a game, you know, we wanted to surprise everybody and go down there and, you know, who says that we couldn't win both games? So, you know, that was a goal of ours and, you know, we did it. But I think the biggest surprise is just how we did it. You know, winning both games by, I think, more than 15 points is, you know, in the finals, it's pretty rare, I think, especially on a team who hasn't lost in their home court the whole playoffs. So to do that is the biggest surprise.
I mean, you've dominated. I think there's no other way to put it. This is not a disrespect, but to see the Spurs just roll through down in Miami, I think, is what has everybody buzzing today.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just the, not that we won, like you said, it's just the disparity between the two teams that, like you said, really look like domination.
Jeff Ayer is with us for a couple of minutes. We talk about the Spurs up 3-1 now in Miami. They try and finish it off on Sunday. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. There was a moment in last night's game that has a lot of people talking today, and that's when Danny Green hits a couple threes. Manu Ginobili, Pop points at him, says, come back to the bench. Manu cheers. He's not sitting there sulking, pouting. How does that type of attitude come out of this team? I mean, that's refreshing to see in this day and age in sports, Jeff.
Yeah, that's just our whole team mentality. You know, we put the team before ourselves, and, you know, you might come out and not like what coach has to say to you or, you know, maybe want to disagree with him, but everybody trusts in what he does and, you know, is going to listen to what he has to say. And, you know, whether it's praise or, you know, constructive criticism, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, but, you know, he wants you to be better. You know, he demands almost perfection out of you. So, you know, that's what you would want, somebody to be on you like that. And that's just our attitude as a team. Everybody's cheering for everybody. You know, everybody is for everybody. Nobody's selfish. Nobody has an ego. You know, it's not so-and-so, so-and-so, and everybody else on the Spurs. It's just the Spurs.
Is there, has there ever been a time where you've seen ego, and if ego jumps in, it's probably snuffed out pretty quick? Or has it been from day one, there's never been anything of I and me?
No, I think from day one, there was no such thing as an ego. And I feel like it's been like that just because all the guys here have been here for so long and they've left it outside that I think their egos have ran off somewhere else. And, you know, for the new guys, you know, they tell you as soon as you come in, like, this is how things are going to be. And, you know, you hear it, but once you see it, you know, you see Coach Pop, Rip, Tony, Manu, or Tim, and like, holy cow, man, you know, he's talking to these guys like that, and he doesn't care. And then you see them, instead of talking back or sucking their teeth or, you know, waving them off, you know, they take it like men and just, all right, Pop, you're right. And then that's it. Nobody has anything to say after that. Nobody's, you know, once we get out of film or away from coach, nobody's, you know, under the breath saying anything. Everybody has such a respect for Coach Pop and what he has to say and what he does that we have no time for egos. So it's just a Spurs mentality.
I remember when you went to San Antonio, I had you on, and I said at the time, it's a real compliment that an organization as well-regarded as San Antonio wants you to be a part of them. Now that you've been there a while, you're up 3-1. You're on the verge of winning an NBA title. I understand what happened a year ago, but the fact that that organization wanted you means you fit their culture. You couldn't have scripted your NBA career to go any better, I wouldn't think.
No, and, you know, going through, like, the hard times, you know, you think about how much it sucks and how bad the world is and woe is me. But, you know, everything is a challenge, and, you know, God doesn't push you through anything you can't handle. And as long as you keep your nose to the stone and grind it out, I mean, look where we're at now. We went from, you know, being a so-so draft pick, getting injured, not really playing, getting injured again, not really playing, to, you know, being on the verge of winning the NBA championship. So, you know, like, I'm blessed and I'm just glad to be a part of it. And, man, like you said, it's such a great feeling to have the Spurs organization come to me. Man, that's awesome feeling. Nothing better.
What can you do that Tim Duncan can't?
I don't know. I might be able to jump higher than him. other than that, man, anything else, man, I'm trying to learn as much as I can from him. So, you know, just I don't know how to explain it. Just Tim Duncan, man. Just try to learn everything I can. But I think out of all the things that he does and I do, I think that's probably the one thing I have on him. I might be able to jump a little bit higher.
Yeah, a little bit. Because what I'm getting at is you could beat him in ping pong, or you could run fast. You can run faster than him, right?
Oh yeah, I can probably run faster than him.
Yeah. Do you have?
I think he can swim better though. He can swim fast.
He can swim faster. All right. Do you have
this? He's an island.
Do you have the scowl on your face that he has when a foul's called on you? Because he has this scowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you perfected that yet?
No, I have. I'm a little more intense. His is kind of like a an even like emotion face. Mine is more looks like I'm ready to tear your head off kind of thing. So I think that's another little difference. But I'm trying to get to that though. I want to progress from looking like I'm ready to, you know, to tear everybody's heads off to, you know, all right, you found me, cool. I'm gonna go make these free throws and go about my business. That's what I'm trying to grow to.
I mean, the biggest question, and I got a couple other questions for you. The biggest thing from my point of view to you is, and this is a pretty broad question, but I'm curious, what has he really taught you? And if it's just he's taught me how to be a pro, yeah, I get it. But what's he really taught you?
Honestly,
yeah,
kind of just to settle down, like. Don't go out there and play like it's college, where, you know, you just play 150% and go super hard, and, you know, everything usually works out for the better. Here, you know, he's trying to teach me just to kind of let things come to you, relax your mind a little bit when you're out there playing, like, trust in yourself, like, you're out there on the court, because Pop has you out there for a reason, trust in that, your teammates believe in you, we know you're good, I know you're good. You know you're good. Just freaking relax and go play. And, I mean, honestly, I feel like that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, we worked out together, and, you know, I'm working on the bank shot, but, you know, that's going to take a little while. So, but just learning how to just play the game and get the feel for it to where, you know, no matter what the situation, what's being thrown at you, you know, you're always comfortable. You know, you never get rattled by anything somebody else does. Or, you know, if you're not playing the way you want to play, you know, don't get down on yourself. Don't be too high. Don't be too low. Just try to stay, you know, right in the middle and ride it out, and everything will balance out.
In a certain sort of way, it's like watching Kawhi Leonard. When Kawhi came in, and then I'm seeing him last night and in this series, I mean, he's just growing right in front of everybody's eyes. You're not out there as much, obviously, but you're growing in the eyes of Tim Duncan, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, cause as much time as I don't get to have in the game, you know, I'm spending double that working out and practicing and, you know, trying to get better. So, you know, what everybody else might not see, because, you know, everybody can watch games but not practice, you know, that's where he can see it, and the coaching staff and everybody else can see it, that, you know, that's why I'm getting better to where, you know, next year, this summer and next year will be even better and, you know, hopefully even more productive for me.
What is your contract down there, Jeff?
Just one more year.
One more year. And your growth pattern there, do you feel like San Antonio could be your home? I know it's tough in pro sports, but do you feel like there's a long-term run there?
Man, I play for it, man. I love it here. It's nice weather. The team is really good. Like, my wife likes it. My little baby girl likes it. So, you know, I feel like, if I can stay here as long as possible, man, that'd be awesome. Just continue to hang around and be around and learn from all these Hall of Famers and all these, you know, and our supporting cast too, man. Our whole team is full of good guys. So, Man, if I could stay here as long as I can, man, I'd be happy.
Last question before I let you go. Are you seeing on the face of the Miami Heat a team that is looking at you guys like, it's not happening this year? Are you seeing that look, a defeated look?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think maybe the look is kind of like a whoa, what just happened? Like, how did this, you know, what did they just do? But nothing that looks like defeat or submission. I think, you know, they're going to come out and try to play like it's game seven. You know, they want to win. They don't want to go out early. They don't want to go out at all. And they want to win another championship. And, you know, them being the defending champs, we have to prove, you know, everybody wrong that, you know, we have to beat them. They're the champs, you know. So regardless of what the series is, you know, that's the goal every game, to go out there and beat the champs. You know, we're the ones that have something to prove, you know, because we haven't won. They're the defending champs, man. We got to go beat them.
It's a long way from Arizona State, man. What a journey for you. And you're just right in the middle of it with your NBA career. You got a family going, and it's all going well. I appreciate the time and the visit, as always. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Jeff Pendergraf, now Jeff Ayers, with us for a couple of minutes. Former Sun Devil, getting it done for San Antonio. What a great spot to learn behind Tim Duncan. And there's, you know, Duncan, how much longer? We'll see. But it's great to have Jeff on for a couple of minutes down in San Antonio. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Bill Goodykoons comes up in about 15 minutes. All things on the movies. Goody at the movies right around the corner.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. White Mountain Radio. Brad Sussmat. On this Friday. It's Father's Day on Sunday. So I've got four kids, and I'm expecting new golf clubs. I'm expecting the house to be moved 3 feet to the right. I'm expecting a new vehicle. I'm expecting all sorts of things. I'm not going to get any of that. I'm going to go get on a jet ski out on Lake Powell, and I'm just going to go find a back cove with a fishing pole and a little cooler full of beverage, and I'm going to go explore, and I'm going to go disappear, and that's going to be my Father's Day. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we all need to decompress and flip the script, as I like to say. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Some people like their Father's Day to spend with dad. And in the world of sports, not to get too sentimental here, but this is a fact. I believe that sports brings dads and sons closer together. Eric, would you agree with me on that or disagree with me on
agree.
That? Do you have a moment or two with your dad that you look back fondly on and say a sporting event was something that dad and I did? Because I think a lot of people can say to themselves that, you know, dad was somebody that I couldn't sit and talk to because he'd sit and watch the TV, or he worked, or he did this, or he did that. But when there were sports on, it was a way for us to break down the barrier.
Growing up, there were no NFL teams here in the Valley. This was pre-Phoenix/Arizona Cardinals. So my dad, when I was just a little kid, used to drive me to San Diego to watch the Chargers play, and that's how I became a lifelong, long-suffering Charger fan. And I remember we used to go to Burger King, and he used to get, like, 3 combo meals, and we used to sit in the back of my dad's pickup truck in Jack Murphy Stadium and eat our Whoppers and go to the game, and the game would end at 5:30, and by the time he got out of that parking lot, it was about 8:30.
Yeah.
And my dad would drive all the way across the desert in the middle of the night to get me home safely, and I would sleep the entire time. Like, I'd be like, oh yeah, dad, I'm gonna stay awake with you, and I'd fall asleep before we even got out of, like, San Diego County.
So this was like Dan Fouts.
Correct. Charlie Joyner. There's a reason my lucky number is 18.
John Jefferson,
Kellen Winslow, yeah. The whole nine.
Lionel yeah. James.
Yep. Yep, Eric Coryell.
So, and I did not know that story, and I've often wondered, how is it you became a big Charger fan? But
that's it
was dad saying, we're going to drive 6 hours to go watch NFL football. We're going to stop in Yuma. Do you guys go down 8, Gila Bend and all that?
Yeah, this was even before, like, the freeways were really good. So, yeah, you had to zigzag through Gila Bend and the back parts of Buckeye and go all the way back into the back roads to get back to Phoenix.
Sure. So you know, that's the example. My dad left when I was 7. So my grandfather was really the father figure of my life. He was a president of a bank. He also ran the Rotary, and he also ran the Little League. And I remember one time he took me to a doubleheader between the Padres and the Philadelphia Phillies. And we go to there, and I'm so excited to go to the game. I'm with my grandfather. We get down to the stadium. He gets out of the car. And as I'm getting out of the car, pushing the button on my side, he says, no, no, no. And I closed the door, and I'd locked the keys in the car. So he gave me a scowl that I'll never forget. He goes inside. This is the day of payphones. He goes, gets me into the stadium. Steve Carlton is pitching for the Phillies. It's important to note who is on the mound. Steve Carlton's pitching for the Phillies. He says, stay here, and I'll go make sure that your grandmother drives down the back set of keys for us. They lived up in Escondido, about 30 miles away. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the game, and I'm all excited. I'm in, like, you know, fourth grade. And Steve Carlton is just doing what Steve Carlton does, an hour and 30-minute game. He pitched very quickly back in the day. And the runs that were scored by the Phillies, my grandfather was on the phone, didn't see any of those. And by the time he sat down, it was about the seventh inning, and the Phillies just rolled right through the Padres in game number one, and he missed all the action. Game number two starts up, and this is the day and age where doubleheaders happen on the same day. You didn't have to do day-night. They didn't clear the stadium out or any of that stuff. Game two starts, and my grandmother comes down. He goes out to meet her. And the Phillies put up six runs, and they're leading 6-0. He misses all of it. He comes and sits back down, and now it's about the sixth inning. I'm getting tired, and I say, hey, Grampy, I want to go home. I'm tired. And he says, you never leave a ball game early because you never know what's going to happen. And sure. I'm sitting there saying, no, come on, Grampy, I want to go home. I've seen a lot of baseball. And I could tell he's a little frustrated. And so he says, fine, we'll leave. So we get in the car, and we start to drive. And as we leave the stadium and get on the freeway to go back north, the Padres proceeded to score seven runs, and we get into the house for the final out, and they end up winning by a score of 7-6. My grandfather was really not happy with me on that day of that doubleheader, being a big baseball fan.
Some days are just not your days.
So to this day, when I think of Father's Day,
great story.
It is the moments that you have with your whether it's your grandfather, if you didn't have a dad around, or like yourself. And so as you get to Father's Day on Sunday, I'm sure guys, and I've done this before where we've taken calls and guys are just bawling their eyes out because it's true. You break through your barriers with your dad through sports. That's one of the great things about sports. Now, this Father's Day, I am not going to find my way to watch Martin Keimer roll through the U.S. Open with my kids, with my feet up and them waiting on me hand and foot. No, instead, I'm going to go get on a jet ski and take a fishing pole and go nail some striper. That's what I'm going to go do, for crying out loud. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. And things that are on our minds in the world of sports, we always do things just a little bit differently on this show. Don't want to be like everybody else. Hey, your granddad wouldn't build your family's foundation in the shifting sands. Neither will Western Grades people, the Western companies, the right equipment. It's right for you. Western Grade, Western Materials. We're talking about landscaping, topsoil, asphalt, paving, home builders, developers. You need to do your business with Western Grade, Western Materials CEO Troy Gillespie. Troy Gillespie will leave me sayings like, your granddad wouldn't build your family's foundation in the shifting sands. He's a very down-to-earth man, very honorable man who does his business the right way. It doesn't matter what it is that you're looking to have done. If you're talking about your custom home, you want the best, right? If it's the landscape, if it's the topsoil, if it's the paving, if it's the asphalt, Western Grade, Western Materials, they have plenty of information for you on their website. Just go check it out yourself online at westerncos.com. Westerncos.com, that's westerncos.com, Western Grade, and Western Material. Eric, we were talking earlier about the World Cup and when the U.S. is going to play. The U.S. does not play until Monday. They play Ghana on Monday morning. I have no idea how big the ratings are going to be for that. And to me, it just doesn't matter. All I know is in Phoenix, there are already viewing parties and watch parties. We have been asked to do a watch party, our friends at Arizona United SC. Every week we have the Michael Dello Russo show. And they've said, would you be interested in hosting a watch party for fans coming up with the USA against Germany game? Why, certainly I would. Little did I know the USA-Germany game is on the exact same time as we do this show. So what fun are we going to have? We're going to have fans climbing all over us at every goal, but doesn't matter.
Lots of drunk people just excited that the World Cup's here.
It's fine. So. I mean, there's times where getting a little lit is the way they blow off steam in life. So we're going to go do the show. I'll have the details on it in the next couple weeks, where you can be with us for USA against Germany. I'll have gear to give away from AZ United SC, and we'll have some fun. AZ United SC, they're at home tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Peoria Sports Complex. If you want to swing on out and see some good local soccer, they're doing a nice job. That's with AZ Arizona United SC, azunited.com. Go check it out. Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, Goody at the Movies. So Bill and I are going to talk about a few things today. I don't rehearse with Bill. I don't rehearse with anybody on this show. I think rehearsing is just nonsensical. I know what we're going to do, and I'm never going to do the, hey, you say this, and I'll say that routine. I think that's just weak. So, but I did call Bill this morning, one of the few times, said, hey, I am going to ask you about OJ and the Bronco and the role of social media. We always talk about that. I don't know if y'all saw Harrison Ford got injured in the Star Wars, the new Star Wars. So he got injured, broke a bone. I'll tell you how he did that. And Bill and I will talk about that. And a couple of movies, too. That's on the other side. As we have Goody at the Movies, that's next. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at Sports360AZ.com.
And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and Martin Keimer is just running away with the U.S. Open, and USA doesn't play in the World Cup until Monday, and, you know, essentially the Spurs are going to beat the Heat. That means it's time to get you ready for the movies. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. It's always good to have Bill on the show. How are you, Bill?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah? What's new?
You know, the whole thing about, you know, I've seen 1,000 World Cup stories.
Yeah.
And I pay enough attention to it that I did not know until I just heard you introducing me that we don't play till Monday.
That's not good. You're not a hater, are you? Or are
I'm not
you?
A hater. We've had this discussion before. Hockey, soccer, to some extent baseball, but not because other stuff is going on, or maybe just because, you know, I played them as a kid or whatever. But I like sports where they score.
You just don't care.
I believe that I think Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player who ever lived. That's great. But I believe truly that the highlight of professional basketball was the cocaine-fueled 1980s. When you had David Thompson, you know, 3 feet above the rim at 6'4", and you had, you know, George Gervin, all these guys now, you learn that they had all these problems, you know. But that to me, that was real swagger too, you know.
Artis Gilmore.
Yeah. I remember my dad said he saw him in a hotel lobby once in Kentucky, and he said, "It's the biggest man I've ever seen in my life," which is probably true until I'm sure you have too. If you ever stand next to Shaq, that's a.
Yeah, Shaq, what was Steve Nash's nickname for Shaq at one point was Mudslide. That was like William Refrigerator Perry's name. Oh, actually, Shaq, you know where that came from? Shaq came up behind one of the Suns players without any clothes on at all and bear hugged him. And so he mudslided him. That's what they called it. Sorry.
I had to, one time when I worked in sports, we were getting something ready when the NBA All-Star game was going to be here. And they told me to go talk to Shaq because Orlando was in town. And so I go down there, you know, I get a press credential, and then I go down there to the locker room. And for some reason, Shaq was not talking to the media at that time. He had not for like a week or so. There was some big protest, you know, he wasn't going to do it. So I walk down there, and he's wearing, I guess what you call cargo shorts and a red and white striped T-shirt. And he looked like the most gigantic 3-year-old boy you've ever seen in your life. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he just kind of shook his head, and I walked off.
Not happening. What happened to Harrison Ford on the Star Wars set?
He hurt his ankle on the door of the Millennium Falcon. So if you are a geek like so many people seem to be about this movie, you will know that that means the Millennium Falcon is going to be in the movie, evidently. Either that or it was just like, I can't imagine what else it was doing there.
So did they drop the door on him intentionally to create all this buzz on social media? There was no Chewie there to help him out?
I feel like they don't need any help generating buzz on social media. I wrote, when they announced the cast, I dashed off a blog post just saying, you know, they announced Star Wars cast, here it is. You know, and then you know, some of the old guys, the original guys are going to be back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that got more hits than anything else on AZ Central that day.
Just off of this movie. And when is this movie coming out?
Maybe next year.
Yeah?
They're shooting now. It must be next year. It's pretty amazing that they actually are shooting it after all the years and years of talking about it, you know? It's just interesting to me that there actually are people on a set somewhere dressed up like, you know, whatever they are. I like the movies, but they did not like define my life like they do some people.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what it did for me. I lived in Radford, Virginia, which is a tiny town. We had a movie theater, and the Star Wars is on the cover of Time magazine. And it said that this was a movie where people were going to see it and walking out of the back of the theater and walking back around and buying tickets and seeing it again. And Johnny Carson was making jokes about it on The Tonight Show. And then it came to the Radford Theater, and that was the first time in my life that I really felt like there's something beyond. There's more than just my little town.
Mm.
And it means something to me in that way. But my only other big thing of that is the second one. I remember I was waiting in line to see it with a date, and one of my neighborhood friends walked out. They said, "You won't believe it. Darth Vader is his father, and he cuts off his hand." And everybody in the line is like, "What?"
I actually worked at a movie theater when this was going on.
Ooh.
So, and awesome. we would do 8 a.m. showings. This is little Escondido, California. We do 8 a.m. showings, and we do midnight showings. And it was nonstop. Like you said, people would come back through.
So that's not hype. That's for real.
No. I mean, it was over and over and over. And I kick myself to this day because the theater was sold, and they said, take any movie posters you want. Right. So I took Animal House, and I took Stripes, and I took Caddyshack, and I took Blues Brothers, and I put them all over my room because I'm in high school, and I'm the coolest guy in town because I work at the movie theater. I'd be the guy that would go out to the marquee, and I could climb up there with the letters and put what was coming up next, right? So I would put up there some sayings that were somewhat profane that I shouldn't put up there for about 10, 15 minutes because I knew my friends were going to drive by and they'd think that that was pretty funny. One of them had to be to deal with the cake that was at the end of Animal House and what was written on that cake.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, "Eat me." So I put it up there on the marquee, and the police came by, and I'm standing up on the marquee, and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just changing the letters. I'll get this down right away, officer." So it was my time to the movies.
Somebody else put it up there. I'm taking it down.
Right. I can't believe these people, how vulgar that is. So, How to Train Your Dragon 2. So here's the thing on this, Bill. I need to know, Hiccup and Toothless, I've been there before for How to Train Your Dragon 1. Is this one of those deals where I have to tell my wife, "Look, I've got a lot of work to do. I can't be there, so you've got to take our 9-year-old.
No, I actually liked it better.
Really?
Yeah, the first one was kind of cool because it was different for one thing. I mean, there weren't hadn't seen a lot like that. But there was something, and I cannot quite put my finger on it, but there's something about it to me that prevented it from being like really, really great, you know. And whatever that is that was missing, they've got it now. It's the deeper story. There's some like real stuff in there. There's some tragedy. And it's one of those things where it's like, "Oh, well, they're not really going to let that happen, right?" And it's like, "Oh, I guess they are." and that, to me, that makes it better. And the animation is just amazing, especially when the dragons are flying, which they do a lot. But if you're going to see a animated kids movie, maybe there's some people that think, "Oh, it's, you know, maybe it's too much for little kids." I don't think that's true. I think little kids can handle more than we give them credit for.
Well, maybe that's what scarred you. I don't know. So what you're saying is this is well worth seeing.
It is.
All right. Let's move from that one over to Jump Street 22 with Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, and Ice Cube. Any good? Not any good.
Excellent.
Really?
Because.
Listen to you.
Because it's a sequel that never stops talking about how it's a sequel. They like, you know, they wind up back in on Jump Street, and they, you know, their office is in that little church,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, I don't want to give too much of it away, but this is just sort of a sample because it's nonstop. They're like, well, look, they moved the office across from the church to this huge building right across the street for no apparent reason. it's like they got a lot of more money or something this time, and then they go in there and they're like, wow, I mean, this looks like where the Iron Man would work, and they're like. And look at that office. It looks like a cube with ice in it. And then, like, Ice Cube comes out.
Okay.
And it's funny, and it's self-referential, but it's cool in another way. It's like, it really gets at, and so a lot of it is in kind of a, you know, wink-nod kind of way. But it does kind of get to the idea of, like, a bromance or whatever. Like, what being guy friends, like, really close guy friends is really like. And how jealous you can get, and how much your relationship with a guy can mirror like a relationship with your girlfriend or something. You know, like you get jealous. You want to spend time with your buds. You know, and you're like, and you kind of get mad if somebody like is taking them away from you.
So listen to you. You've got two movies that you love for this weekend.
I got a third.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a movie at Valley Art that's called Lucky Them, and Toni Collette, who's been in a lot of stuff, really great British actress, but she's being an American here. She plays this kind of aging rock journalist who is told by her editor it's a 10th anniversary of this guy's like most famous album, and supposedly he's killed himself, but there's always been rumors that he hasn't. He's like, it's a 10th anniversary of this album. Go out there and find the guy or find what happened to him, whatever it is. And she's like, I don't want to do it because, as you know, I was dating him when he disappeared. He's like, yeah, well, either you do it or you're fired.
Mm.
So she goes off looking for him, and Thomas Hayden Church goes with her. He's like this dot-com millionaire who just wants to make a documentary, so he knows her, so he just like goes along. They're great together. And then I can't obviously say what happens, but there is, I hope this doesn't give too much away, there is a cameo at the end of the movie that will just make you like, whoa, and it's perfect.
All right, and you're not going to say who it is?
I am not.
Is it, I mean, for a guy like me, we've talked together for a couple of years. You think I'll be blown away by this? I wonder if it's worth my while.
Well I mean, it's not George Clooney. I mean, but it's close. I mean, it will really surprise you. And once you see it, and it's a really good scene, once it happens, you'll say, well, of course. But you're still going to be taken by surprise because it's a small movie, even though, you know, it's got a great cast. But those guys are hilarious together. Because Thomas Hayden Church says that thing that's so great where he has just no social graces. He's just like, you know, like, hey. Every bar he goes into, he's like, I would like a clean glass with water and a whole lime.
Well, you've given me some things to see. Now, I'm not going to be here next week. Okay, I'm going to go disappear in the back cove at Lake Powell. But what I would like to see is if I can get you to come sit and watch USA Germany with me at World Cup and perhaps change your view.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is a no.
It is.
This is a no. This is no. I am busy. I have kids to run around. So
I have movies to see. And
I have movies to see, so I'm not going to commit to go anywhere with you, Brad. At least I tried.
It is. Well, I mean, are you all geeked up about it?
No.
And does it take place at like 4 in the morning?
No. It's 9 in the morning. I mean, I'm not geeked up. I just think it's one of those deals that culturally you'll see men behave in a way that, well, you just shouldn't see men behave over a sporting event.
I think don't you think that that's probably more prevalent in soccer than almost any other sport for the people who are really into it?
Sure, because soccer guy doesn't care. You know, like hockey people get all worked up. Soccer guy just says, you're never going to understand us, so we don't care.
The best barometer for soccer that I can think of is like the best barometer for anything, The Simpsons, which I truly believe is the greatest television series in history, and I will say that until something comes along to replace it, but so far it hasn't.
Let you go
I don't
off
know
that.
If you remember, one year the World Cup came to Springfield, and they had Kent Brockman, the sportscaster, the newscaster. He was doing the play-by-play for the English-speaking language people.
And I have to let you go off that. It was a great story. There's Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussman.